You're listening to Beyond Damascus, the show where encounter meets mission. Beyond Damascus is aired on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and across Ohio on St. Gabriel Radio.
Hey friends, and welcome to Beyond Damascus, the show where encounter meets mission. My name is Brad Pieron. I'll be the host for today's episode, and I'm joined here in studio with my friends and brothers in Christ, Aaron Richards.
Hey Brad.
Dan Dimite. Woo. And special guest today, Pete Burak. Pete, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
This is exciting. Yeah, so if you're tuning in for the first time, this is the show where encounter meets mission. It's the show where we take questions from you that we try to give the best answers we have. And we have actually 2 cents that we throw into a jar whenever we're ready to answer the question. We'll each give one answer a piece, and we'll kind of comment on each other's answers. I'll give my 2 cents today to Pete before I throw it over to Jack for today's question. So Jack, can you share with us the question of the week?
Yeah, of course, Brad. The question of the week is, what do you do when you feel like your community has become complacent?
What do you do when you feel like your community has become complacent? Okay. Pete,
I'm just
ready
so
right out the gate
to put
the coins in that jar.
Go ahead. Slam dunk it. You were a basketball player, right?
Yes, and the lid's over. Yes, that's perfect.
I didn't even know there was
a lid
there.
No, it's successful.
Okay. So, awesome question, Jack. Thanks, man. Not to be that guy, but my first instinct would be like, if I was actually in a conversation with somebody and they said this question, I'd be like, well, what do you mean by complacent? Because I think that could encompass a lot of different senses of what where the person is and what they're doing and what the community is or is not doing. So setting that aside, I think it's worth defining that though for a second of like, what do we mean by complacent? But setting that aside, my first instinct when I heard the question was, and then look down at this book by Chesterton, when he was asked, what's wrong with the world? Mm-hmm. He said, me, I'm what's wrong with the world. And so my first instinct when I heard this question is, if you feel like your community is complacent, take a deep dive into your own heart and say, where are you complacent? Where has your heart gone stagnant towards the Lord? And one of the best ways to get out of that personally is to fast, to pray more, and to do stuff. And so my 2 cents would be, if your community is complacent, it might be because you're complacent.
That is good. That is good. Pete,
that is good.
In the course of evangelization and preaching and teaching, you run into a lot of young adult communities. Or Brad, you know, on campus with the campus ambassadors through recruiting, where have you guys run into this type of stuff before?
Yeah, I think, well, for me, I think I usually run into it in communities that have just different experiences within the same wall. So you have people that have gone and they've had an experience of Jesus that's different. And when they come back, they're not sure how to actually bring those two together, reconcile the two different experiences. So the complacency, at least that they're perceiving, comes from, wow, there was something I experienced there that was so different and I really liked it. And then I came back here and noticed that it's not the same and it's feeling to me to be complacent. So usually when that question comes up, that's how I experience it, but I'm not sure. Do you have same experience, different?
Yes. Similarly, I think a lot of the communities I've experienced that would identify this way, when you dive into it, it's because they've stopped praying together.
Yeah.
And they've lost a sense of why they exist. And a lot of times those go hand in hand. Like, why you exist should be originating from the throne room. And so if you're not praying together and discerning, why do we do this? Why does this community exist? And what are we set out to accomplish? What's our mission field? Mm-hmm. If you lose that sense of mission, you will lose a sense of community. And then it'll just be this kind of random group of people who are kind of doing things together and we're not really sure why. Mm-hmm. And that loses conviction.
I love what you were saying too. And one other area that I see transition happen, or at least one of the, a temptation is surrounding relationship. So oftentimes you'll see individuals who are excited and on mission together when they feel like they have time to give. And then, we kind of fall into the American ideal of what marriage should look like or what a newlywed couple should look like. And oftentimes that's the point that I see where somebody says, hey, now is the acceptable time for me to step out of mission. I'm gonna live my good Catholic young adult life, and we're gonna take a year or two to just do us. And that turns into a lifetime of kind of stepping out of the game.
So I like what you were saying in your 2 cents. You closed by saying fast, pray and do. And I think a lot like, okay, so let me fast for my community and for myself so I can find my own complacency. Let me really pray into what is the complacency? What's the root cause of the complacency? Mm-hmm. Where am I? Where's my own flesh involved here? And then to do something. And I think if you, I mean, in the discernment of spirits, Ignatius of Loyola talks about like you act against the desolation. And so if there's desolation or complacency, just do something against it, you know, like act against it so that you, if there's spiritual complacency, then pray more, right? Mm-hmm. Don't pray less, pray more. If there's missional complacency, mission more.
Yeah.
Don't mission less.
Yeah. And I do think there's a time in the maturity that we have in our walk with the Lord where we realize that a lot of the like secular wisdom of focus on yourself for a little while starts getting tiresome to us, right? Like we like look and we're like, actually, I want to focus out now, right? And sometimes when we have that inspiration, we feel like everyone around us should have the same one. But actually, if we take lead on that and welcome people into it with us, kind of like what you were saying, Pete, if we take ownership of that and we actually begin moving and welcome people alongside us, we all
I want to toss mine in.
Oh man.
I got in the
lid. Yeah,
this
is perfect.
So I want to jump off something that Pete said, actually, the do something about it. Mm. That here at Damascus, the Dynamic Catholic Foundation did a study a number of years ago that looked at young people walking away from their faith. And I think the same could be said of young adults or missional communities that within 10 years of their confirmation, they said 5 out of 6 young people will leave the practice of their faith. But for the one who stayed, 89% of the time, that one person stayed because of a unique sort of outside of the box experience of encounter with Jesus. So they identified that the most common denominator between people who stayed engaged in the faith was that they did something that was outside of the norm. So it wasn't being raised in good Catholic families. It wasn't going to Catholic schools. It wasn't the vibrancy of your parish. It was truly that something happened that shook me out of my standard that brought me into an encounter with Jesus. And that's really what we've founded a lot of the programs of Damascus about, that we want to create that mountaintop thing. So I would say if you find that your community is feeling or becoming complacent, it might be a good opportunity to ask, like, how can I relight the fire? How can I get us out of our norm? A great opportunity for that I've seen impact us. You know, in my youth ministry core team, we were a young adult community. Oftentimes, even consistently in the mission field, we would become complacent. But it was our annual mission trip that pulled us out of the norm, that really charged us up and got us re-engaged. I started leading an annual trip to a conference down in Georgia that was something that was outside of our norm, that was exciting, that was enlivening, and it kind of re-kickstarted us. So I'd say, yeah, don't get too negative. I think complacency is maybe sort of in the nature of a human person, but if we can get ourselves out of that norm, I think we can maybe get the ball rolling again.
That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, just last night, so we're doing our Young Adult Empower conference right now. And one of our missionaries last night after prayer, he said, man, like, this is so good just for our missionary community to be like, to be reminded and wakened up. And it's like, it's funny because we're an on fire missionary community that prays every single week together. We're on mission every single week together. We're constantly encouraging and exhorting and challenging each other to mission, but there's something different about stepping away aside together, focused on a time where we're ready for God to move. It wakes everyone up again.
Yeah. I love the idea of getting out of the norm of operation, because there's another thing where you're going to start seeing, your community differently. Like when you get out and experience God differently, you see everything differently. And so when you come back from that encounter, allow yourself to see what God did in you and therefore what he can do in others, right? Mm-hmm. What he does in our life, we actually can testify to. We can speak encouragement to people for, like, hey, if he did this for me, he can do it for you too.
Yeah. What's interesting about your point, Aaron, is that there's been such a movement, I'll just say, in the American church to almost downplay those moments. to be like mountaintop experiences almost become something people point to as like, well, they just had a mountaintop experience and then they didn't have anything else. Yeah. You know, like events and kind of big dramatic emotional moments are almost being set aside as if they're a problem.
Yeah.
You know, and then we can't focus on that. We need to be able to focus on the rest of life. And it's the beautiful Catholic both and. Like, we need both. You know, when you look at the Gospels, Jesus brings the apostles to very dramatic encounter moments. And then he walks with them and he lives with them. Mm-hmm. And even then throughout Acts of the Apostles, there's big dramatic things that happen that remind them of who they are, that remind them of their anointing, that remind them of God's providence. And then there's the everyday stuff of walking from one city to the next. And so it's not an either or. And so I think it's so wonderful. Again, we're at a conference right now and it's okay to be like, this is really good. Mm-hmm. And all these people need to go home and instill habits of prayer and all these other things to sustain them. And then along the way, they need to come to something else that will shoot them up in the arm and they'll be ready to go for the next thing. And yeah. So it's that balancing act that often we kind of lose that balance.
Yeah. That'd be a fun book. Dramatic moments. Like, I think there's a book called like Holy Moments, like, or like the memorable moment, like dramatic moments, like the dramatic moments of the, like of the Gospels, of the Acts, the Apostles, and then the dramatic moments of Damascus. Like, how's God showing up and
there's a lot of them.
Wakened us up.
And in just normal human life too, right? Like your wedding day is a big day. Like these things, and you look back to it and like, again, it's not like that forever, but it is like that for a moment. And it does help you prepare for the next thing. Same thing in the life of the Lord.
So, hey, if you're complacent, have a dramatic moment.
Have a dramatic moment.
Boom. Oh, all right, my two cents. Woo, woo. Okay. I identify with this because I feel like over the last 20 years of my life in Christian community, I have felt like community is complacent a number of times, and I have had to try to call community out of complacency. And I think a lot of sometimes I've done that from like the role of the leader of the community. So I'm calling out those who I'm leading. And other times I've had to do it as the participant in the community. And so whether you are the participant and you're like, man, my pastor, like I'm at a parish, my pastor has all power and authority here. And I feel like I don't, like what role do I have? Or a college campus ministry. And you feel like you're a participant. You don't have authority. It doesn't matter if you're the leader or a participant. I think the strategy is the same. So the first thing I would say is discern. So discern is this from the Lord or are you just being a jerk? And so like sometimes the Lord tells you, he shows you that the community is complacent so that you can do something about it. Sometimes you're just being a jerk. You like came to that retreat and now you come back and you're like, oh, I had this experience and they didn't. So like just discern, is this from the Lord? Like did he ask, does he want you to do something? Then secondly, I would say, thank the Lord for it. Like thank the Lord that you're feeling that sense of complacency, because this is a prophetic sense. So God, he often, you would see the prophets in the Old Testament call out to Israel for their unfaithfulness, which ultimately was their complacency. Whenever they were complacent, what did God do? He would rise up prophets, and the prophets would speak God's word to the people. So if you see it, discern, then thank, then discern again. Okay, if I'm a prophet, thank God for making me a prophet. Now, what word do you want me to speak, Lord? And how do you want me to speak it? And I think how do you want me to speak it is really important. And then you want to speak it how the Lord is speaking it to you or how he asks you to speak it. So sometimes when I see complacency in a community, I speak that, I challenge that complacency with a word of the Lord and a word of frustration. Sometimes I do that in a word of gentleness. Sometimes it's in a word of sorrow. Like, and so be attentive. What is the Lord saying and how is he saying it? And then try just to simply say, I feel like the Lord is saying this and this is how I think he's saying it. Use his emotion. This is the gift. And then I would say, again, go back to discernment. So you're discerning, is this from the Lord? You're thanking him for being a prophet. You're discerning, how should I say this word? Then discern, who do I say this word to? And I think that's really important because sometimes it's like the whole community you need to speak to, right? Sometimes it's the leaders in the community. Maybe sometimes it's one leader in the community. I know sometimes when I'm feeling it, it's, hey, I need to talk to Aaron and he and I are going to talk about, here's what I'm sensing. What do we do with this? Or I'll talk to Brad and Aaron and our leadership team. Or sometimes I say it to the whole community. And so it's really discern, who am I being called to speak this word to? But it all goes back to this, you have, like, if God is filling you with a sense that, man, that there's complacency here. God, that is not God's will. God wants, he does not want Christian community to be complacent. He doesn't want us to be lukewarm. He wants us to be on fire. And so there should always be a voice when their community is complacent, challenging the community. All of that has to be done in great love. So mm-hmm. if I'm challenging the community in frustration and sorrow and directness, if it's not done from an act of charity and they don't feel loved by it, it's not going to be effective.
Yeah. That's awesome. I think another thing that, as you were speaking, Dan, that will determine how effective it is when you deliver it is truly seeking the Lord on how urgent it is. Like it can be important and non-urgent. Like it could be something he's showing you that over time he wants you to play a part in. Right. And I gave an analogy. I was speaking to the campus ambassadors this year and we have summer missionaries here at Damascus and they come and serve at Catholic Youth Summer Camp. It's incredibly fast paced. The Lord moves really quickly in people's lives. You see conversions weekly and that's not the rest of your life, right? And sometimes that reconciliation of coming from this into the rest of your life can be challenging for people. So our campus ambassador program seeks to set up people for success once they leave here. And I was giving one of the first messages to this group of people and I was brought to an analogy of baseball. And I played a lot of baseball growing up. My family's just had a lot of success in a lot of different sports, but baseball specifically. I mean that like my
I
uncle
haven't seen
was,
you play baseball.
My uncle was drafted actually by the Phillies and then played a year of college, was drafted again. And nice. So yeah, baseball kind of runs. But in high school, I faced the best pitcher I ever faced. He played at Ohio State after that. Threw in like the mid-90s, so pretty solid fastball. And I was young. So he was a freshman. I was like a young junior and I didn't know how to approach this at bat. And I knew I wasn't going to play his team again. And so the way I approached that at bat versus the pitcher that I knew I was going to face 8 times in my career was very different. So I knew that when he was going to throw to me, that he was likely to throw a fastball up front. I'm going to tie this in, I promise. And but anyone that's following that's a sports fan, you'll know exactly what I'm saying. Like I stepped into the batter's box and I knew he was coming with fastball early. So I swung as hard as I could and I flew out to the warning track. If he'd have thrown a curveball, I probably would have struck out. But the way I approached that at bat was I have one shot at it. He's probably going to throw me fastball. I'm going to swing as hard as I can. I'm going to see what happens. The guys I faced 8 times, there was a sequence to it. I approached those at bats differently. There wasn't an urgency to get the first pitch right because I was going to face 40 pitches from these pitchers in my high school career. So it was about figuring out what they were doing and how I could use that to the advantage of what I like needed for the at bat, right? And in ministry, sometimes we go in like we're going to face this community one time and it has to happen right now. And if I don't swing as hard as I can, and if like all these things. But community is much more like the latter, the picture that you're going to see a dozen different times, 8 different times. You're going to show up and they're going to be there. And so don't feel urgency where it's just important. Mm-hmm. And I think that analogy, like it helps get my mind around, man, I lose my peace sometimes whenever I get a word from the Lord. And I'm like, it has to happen right now or it's never going to happen. And everybody has to get on board. And it's like, wait, where'd my peace go? Because if I'm going to be a prophet, I still have to maintain peace. Like that's a fruit of the Spirit. And if I'm not operating the Spirit, I don't want to speak it. So I think the urgency piece goes to the effectiveness that you were talking about.
Mm. Well, and you said discernment a lot, and that's a whole nother podcast, right? To understand how to discern. But one of the best ways to discern is in the context of community too. So to be able to bring to a trusted person or people, I think the Lord is telling us this. Can other people corroborate? Yeah. You know, I was sensing that as well. Or a lot of times the prophetic word in our day and age is one that is kind of given out piecemeal that collectively emerges the message from the Lord. You know, I don't know whether or not Jeremiah had a small group that he threw his prophecies by. Doesn't seem like it. Seems like, but that was a unique call in his life. Most of us, as the Lord speaks to us, one of the ways he's going to confirm the word and speak more deeply is through the other people in our lives. And so finding other people who, if you're sensing the community might be complacent, well, then probably some others are too. And finding those people and saying, hey, I'm sensing this. I think this is what the Lord's, can you confirm that? Am I off? And it can be part of that patient, humble discernment. So you don't come in bull in a china shop. Mm-hmm. Oh, I got the word from the Lord. I'm the prophet.
Yep.
Here we go. Yep. You know? Mm. Yeah.
Mm. How do you guys, question off that, how in your guys' lives have you set aside that proclivity to think it has to happen now or never? Like, what's a practical step? Because I'm imagining if someone's listening, they're actually asking this question. They're like, yeah, but this word, it came so strong. And like, I think it has to happen right now. Like, what's a way that they can offer that over outside of just the small group? Is there any other context? I thought I'd check in with you, Dan, you, Aaron, because I love that. Like, run it by other people, other.
Yeah, I would. I mean, I don't know. I think it is, of course, discernment. So the only way you know if you're supposed to take action now or later is by asking God, am I supposed to take action now or later? Mm-hmm. And so I think getting your emotions out of the way so that you are actually like the emotions are what create the urgency, right? So have a sober mind so you're able to discern, okay, is this a now word or am I called to be patient with this? Chesterton says, don't be so open-minded that your brains fall out. Don't be so slow that nothing happens. And so like there's gotta be a point where there is a restart or that the engine is revved, whether that's a holy moment, a dramatic moment, right? Whether or not I move towards something to get something done. But if we just sit around and do nothing, it's we're either going to grow bitter or we're going to stay complacent. And yeah. So I think there's got to be a timeline of there's always action to be taken. The question is, what's the right action? Mm-hmm. And the action may not be, okay, we're going guns blazing, but there should be something. Maybe it's fasting and praying for conversion.
Yeah. So run it by a group of people and take it.
I'd say you've got to live it in relationship too. Mm-hmm. I mean, you with few exceptions, your prophetic word is not going to have lasting authority in somebody's life if you haven't earned it through relationship. So they've got to trust you. And that trust might come through, you know, the invitation to come speak at your conference. So there's a high level of trust in Pete tonight. Mm-hmm. But for me, in the context of living it in community, like I can't just assume that because I have something to say that it's going to be heard. Mm-hmm. I need to know that the person who's receiving it trusts that I love them and that I'm willing to, you know, work it out. So yeah, if I feel this is urgent and then I open my mouth to say an urgent thing and I realize, wow, this isn't being received, like that's great. Like mm-hmm. let's live it in relationship and all of a sudden it's not urgent anymore.
Yeah.
It's now something we're going to work out over time.
I love that. Yeah. So challenge it where there's investment, right? Share it with a group of trusted people so that you can really get a different lens on it, making sure it's not just you, and then continue to take it back to the Lord so you can discern it.
I would also look at what are great examples of people who have done that well and done it poorly, right? So like, I bet we could all, like, I think one of the reasons we're expressing caution is because we're thinking through of how this could go so bad, right?
I've done it poorly.
Yeah. So if you lack guidance from the Lord and you lack character, it's probably going to be done poorly. But we also see moments of like Joan of Arc and Catherine of Siena, like going to kings and to the Pope and telling them what to do. Mm-hmm. And they listened, right? And there's because it was from the Lord and there was authority and it was done with virtue.
I love it. Well, let's move this into our mission section. So Pete, we do a mission momentum where we actually take the conversation we've had and we give one encouragement to the people listening on how they can actually make this practical in their lives this next week. We call it mission momentum. So if any of you have mission momentum, how can we take this into the next week?
Yeah, I'll jump on just based off what I was saying earlier. Try to think outside of the box and keep things fresh within the context of your community. If you feel like the schedule's becoming a drag, take some time to think about how can I upend this schedule a little bit? Mm-hmm. This is a good trick for marriage and for dating and for living in a relationship.
That's good.
Yeah. I would say I really liked, Pete's two cents. I think the, like, let the fire within burn deeply, because the more it burns within you, the more people are going to see that and desire it. So if you're sensing, complacency within a community right now, just press in hard with the Lord this week and just don't take action yet. Just go after the Lord, go after the Lord, go after the Lord, and just let him really enkindle the fire within.
Yeah. Building off of that, a three word prayer that the Lord always answers, which is come Holy Spirit. My dad used to call it a text message to Jesus. It's very practical thing. Start every day when you wake up. First thought in your head is come Holy Spirit. Just give your day to the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit burn more deeply in you and see what happens, mm-hmm. because there's no such thing. The Holy Spirit does not exist with complacency. They are incompatible. Yeah. It doesn't work. The Holy Spirit is literally the agent of movement within the church. And so if there's complacency, there's probably a lack of the Holy Spirit. And so just ask for more.
Amen.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. And I would just say, if you're restless or if you're finding complacency in yourself or in others, take time to write down what's bothering you. Because when you write it down, it puts it into reality. And then you can really actually look at it. Like in my life, when I'm feeling overwhelmed or like something has to happen now, when I write it out, I begin looking at it matter of factly instead of emotionally. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, oh, wait, you already are kind of doing some things here. Or actually, that does make sense. That might be good to talk about right now. So I would say write it down in a journal. I used to do sticky notes by my bed because it would keep me up if I had too many things. So I'd just write it and stick it down so I wouldn't forget it. But yeah, that would be my mission momentum for the week. Pete, it's so good to have you with us.
Thank you.
You'll be speaking tonight at the Empower Conference, which is so good. And working with Renewal Ministries, how can anyone that's listening find more about you, what Renewal does?
No, that's generous. Yeah, just go to renewalministries.net. This is the easiest way to get in touch with
us. Okay, awesome. Yeah, they're doing amazing work, and we're so grateful to have Pete here alongside us. This has been Beyond Damascus, the show where encounter meets mission. And we're not just a show that likes to talk about mission. We want to be a show on mission. So if this blessed you, or if you know anyone in your life that could listen to this episode and gain something from it, we'd encourage you to share it with them. Send it to them via text message, however it is that you want to send it to them, and let them encounter the word that the Lord's speaking to them so they can be on mission in their lives. And we'll look forward to seeing you here next time on Beyond Damascus.
You're listening to Beyond Damascus, the show where encounter meets mission. Beyond Damascus is aired on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and across Ohio on St. Gabriel Radio. You can listen to the whole version of today's episode on www.ewtn.com/radio/podcasts, or check us out on YouTube or your favorite podcast app. We will be right back after a short commercial break.
Hi, this is Mike Aquilino with a few words about St. Maximus the Confessor. The emperor wanted to compromise doctrine in order to make peace with heretics. It was all about politics, but Maximus the Confessor dared to oppose him and would not back down. For this, he was charged with treason and had his tongue and right hand cut off so that he could not speak or write against the emperor. His silence resounded everywhere, and truth prevailed.
The most original Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
Have you ever been so grief-stricken? You can't see God in the tragedy. You can't see God in that cross. You're enveloped in that grief. You're enveloped in fear. And God is out the window. You don't see Him standing right next to you.
Mother Angelica Live Classics. Every morning, 2 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Ever wonder how we should pray? I'd like to offer just one. Don't make prayer your work, make work your prayer. In other words, one's faithfulness to their daily duties of state and life and vocation, while at home and at their place of employment, can be offered as a pleasing sacrifice to God when done lovingly, faithfully, and well. It all boils down to the virtue of diligence, doesn't it? Do what you're supposed to do, when you're supposed to do it, in the way it's supposed to be done.
Carry the faith wherever you go. Watch the EWTN series, specials, events, and news streaming live from anywhere in the world. Streaming is available on the EWTN app for Apple, Android, and Amazon devices. Download the EWTN app at EWTNapps.com today.
Welcome back to Beyond Damascus, the show where encounter meets mission. Beyond Damascus is aired on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and across Ohio on St. Gabriel Radio.
Welcome back to Beyond Damascus, friends. This is the show where encounter meets mission. I'm your host for today's show, Aaron Richards, joined here in the illustrious Damascus Media Studio by my friends and brothers in Christ, Dan Demite.
Hey.
And Brad Pieran.
Yes, I knew your high five was going to be so strong that I set my tee down.
That is a wise choice.
I would have spilled it on myself.
I pride myself on strong high fives.
Aaron, I've noticed throughout this season, even. The bracelets on your wrist as we're doing high fives, they continue to grow. These are magnificent.
I'm feeling family.
I've made the decision that as I get older, I can wear strange braces that my daughter gives me without any fear of being judged.
Yes, that sounds good.
So this one says, dad of me. That's a good one. Yeah. And this one has a little eyeball bead on it. Well, because my daughter Felicity's eyes are blue. So she says, this is my eye.
I thought you were going to say, because she said, I'm always watching you, dad. I was like, oh no.
So Beyond Damascus is the show where encounter meets mission. We try to answer difficult theological questions that you may have, or mission-based questions that you may have, mm-hmm. giving our two cents from the experience we've had leading this beautiful organization, Damascus. And also then we wrap it up at the end of each show with a mission momentum challenge for you to actually embrace this and live it out every week. So we're not just consuming more content, but we're mm-hmm. actually putting it into practice. With that said, Jack, would you lead us into today's question, please?
Of course. The question of today is, how do you not get tired or burnt out when prioritizing being on mission?
How do you not get tired or burnt out when prioritizing?
All right. Oh, yeah. I think I want to start this one.
Okay.
Aaron starting? Yeah. This is big. Hit it. Second one. Yes.
Yay, he did it.
How do you not get tired or burnt out when prioritizing living a life on mission? Dan, I look back to some of the stuff. I remember you and I were on this kick when we were in college.
Yeah.
Some saint, I'm sure, who was awesome and probably very unhealthy in his lifestyle choices. He said once that he wants to be exhausted when his head hits the pillow every night.
Yep.
And I know I was really inspired by that. I made it like my goal and objective that I want to be so sold out for mission. Like I want to either fall asleep the moment my head hits the pillow, or I want to fall asleep in the midst of a rosary because I can't summon the strength to conclude it. Right. That was really the motivation that drove my life. I love to acknowledge who's asking this question. I'm sure this comes from a place of a desire to give your whole heart and your whole life. And I think my question or my response would be to hopefully, with the greatest pastoral heart I can summon in me, to suggest that maybe we're not meant for comfort, but we're meant for greatness, right? I was at a mass earlier this week, and in his homily, the priest quoted von Balthasar. Is he a saint or just a philosopher or a writer?
I don't believe he has been canonized. No,
I don't know. I don't even know if he's a human. But
does that mean everything he says doesn't even?
He is in fact a human.
He may be an AI. In any case,
he's not an AI. Fact.
As often as he gets quoted, he probably is an AI.
In any case, von Balthasar said that martyrdom should be the norm for Christianity. Martyrdom should be the normal Christianity, and the comment that he made in the course of his homily that just really stuck with me, I've been praying with it this week, was that Christian martyrs, we want to be Christian martyrs. Christian martyrdom is easy to give your life in one moment, and it's very, very difficult to give your life in ongoing daily moments. But that's the call of the Christian on mission. So my encouragement would be, man, find a way to find passion and joy in being spent.
Yeah,
it almost sounds like your answer to the question where they say, how do you not get tired or burn out when prioritizing being on mission? You're almost saying you are going to get tired, and there will be seasons where you do get burnt out, but that's okay.
Yeah. You know, we look forward to heaven, our eternal rest. If we arrive to heaven well rested, I think there's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really good word. I say this sometimes in conversations that I'm having with guys that I'm walking with, but they'll bring up this term burnout, and it's used so often. So again, to your point, Aaron, to be pastoral to the person asking, like, I'm sure that you're probably swimming in Christian circles where this is used a lot, and you're like, I don't want that. I want to live a life that's full and abundant and joyful, and burnout seems like the opposite of that. But
I wonder, I think back to like the agrarian societies of yesteryear. Like if I'm a farmer working on the American Western frontier,
yeah,
like, is burnout something that I consider in my life as a high value?
Exactly. No, it's not.
Because I know that like my life is meant to be spent in labor.
Yeah. Well, actually, words matter. That's what I'm trying to say too. Yeah.
Well, it's December, and I think the we were talking as family the other day. I was like, man, I hate when it gets dark so early. And my wife was like, well, that the farmers used to love that because they didn't have to work until 9 p.m. Right.
Yeah,
and so, and she said, isn't it interesting that God created the universe to have cycles in our work? And so those farmers, they did have long seasons where it was go, 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 go.
Yeah.
But then there was also seasons that she said they would sit by the fire and do the easier tasks, like fix the clock or sew. And so there are times where, like, our missionary lifestyle, our mission life, it needs to get a flow with the seasons of God. And so there are seasons where I'm going really hard and I'm hitting the pillow oh. And then there's also seasons where I rest to make sure I am with God. And so, like, follow the rhythms of God.
If that's your motivation.
Yeah.
Here's a funny little side note. I often hear how, like, older men after retirement naturally wake up at 5 o'clock every morning. I'm just like, I can't wait. I can't wait until my body doesn't need sleep anymore.
And it just does that.
Yeah.
I want to create kind of a distinction, because to your guys' point, I think all that's true. And when I'm talking to those guys and they're mentioning burnout, or when this person's mentioning burnout, like, I will often come back just quickly to just test the heart with, yeah, but wouldn't you rather burn out than rust out?
Yeah.
Like if you had the two choices, would you rather come to the end of yourself and realize that you were at the end of yourself, or fall in on yourself? And it's like, man, the Christian life is the first, and we're going to push boundaries if we're really, really going after something that God has in front of us. And there, of course, are ways that we can respond to him and rest with him and be with him. But also, it's like, I'd rather the first every day of the week. And another thing, and you come to this all the time, Aaron, and I've heard it from you too, Dan, but God, he met Spes, paragraph 24, right? We were made to be a gift. We were made to partake in self-gift. And I think that the modern society we live in speaks self-care far more than self-gift. Ooh. And so we've gotten in this place where my constant examine is how well am I caring for myself, not how much am I gifting myself. And I think if we can turn that, to your point, Aaron, I think we'll get to I just think we're going to get to a place where we're able to be on mission and connected to the Lord.
That's beautiful.
Okay, Brad, next. Me or you?
I am. Want to build on what I was just saying, because I want to speak to that, because I do think there's times when we are trying to be mission focused. And well, I guess I'll say this first. If you're listening today, we work at a place called Damascus, and we have 5 missionary mindsets here that we teach all of our missionaries. Every time we have a training, we constantly come back to these, that we're Jesus-centered, mission-focused, joy-filled, obedient toilet plungers. And we say there's even a reason for the order of them. And I will constantly come back, as a reflection in my own life, to the moments that I find mission exhausting, the moments that I'm finding myself way beyond myself and burn out, if you will, it's because I'm not maintaining my Jesus-centeredness. That mission focus without Jesus-centeredness, it becomes self-aggrandizement. Mission becomes about me. And when we stay in relationship with Jesus, he will always fuel us to mission. What do we talk about on this show all the time? Encounter leads to mission, right? And so encounter with Jesus, a centeredness on Jesus, a healthy spiritual life is that which propels me into mission. You know, St. Paul said in 2 Corinthians that I will most gladly spend and be utterly spent for the salvation of souls. So what does he mean when he says that? I will most gladly spend. I will spend all of me. And then anything left, I'll let the Lord spend from me for the salvation of souls. How was he able to say that? Because he was Jesus-centered, because he had a relationship, because mission wasn't about the name Paul. Like, and the Lord even changed his name. So, like, his name was different now anyway. So it wasn't about him. And I do think sometimes in my own life, when I have found mission being the most difficult to choose, it's because I'm not choosing Jesus like I want to. So if you're asking this question, like, how do I live a life of mission without finding myself in the midst of burnout? Check your prayer life, your spiritual life. Have you gone on a retreat recently? How are you doing with Sabbath? Like, are you taking a time to rest with the Lord and to give all the fruits of that week to him, and asking him how you guys can engage differently the week upcoming. And those are the things that I would say. So I would say the way to do that is Sabbath and prayer, which are huge aspects of Jesus-centeredness, is that which will allow mission to continue.
I love that. I think that's beautiful. I think you guys really complement each other well. Like the fact that, okay, expect it to be hard and go hard, and this is what Christianity is.
Yeah.
And yet, in God's wisdom and providence, he also told us to keep holy the Sabbath. And so there is a place where I need to be rooted in him and in rest, and all the activity comes from rest with him. And I can even be in rest with him when in activity. Our missionary program does this really well, especially even in the summer. So I was talking to one of our head counselors this summer, and I asked him, like, hey, how are you doing? He's like, dude, I am more tired than I've ever been. And because of that, I'm growing in holiness, I think, for the first time ever. Mm-hmm. He's like, I finally get it, that I had never pushed myself hard enough to actually need to depend on Jesus, right? So it's possible to live the American lifestyle, and it's so comfortable that it's possible you never cling to him. And he's like, I am so empty right now. I'm just clinging to him like never before, and I'm growing in holiness, like in intimacy with him like never before because of that. Awesome. I think it's like John of the Cross. It's that active purification of the senses, that like I'm getting rid of the flesh by renouncing it. Like I'm actively purifying the desires of the flesh through pressing into mission, which forces me to cling to Jesus more.
Yeah, that's why we're called to holiness and mission, right? Like the biggest shame in life wouldn't be getting to the end of your life and realize that you didn't hit the highest goal you could ever possibly set. The biggest like disappointment in life would be getting to the end of your life, realizing you set it way too low and got complacent after that. Like we want to go after something. Holiness, mission, they're beyond us. The salvation of the world, I can't do all of that, but I can do some of that, and I have no idea how much I'm supposed to do of that. And Jesus pushes me to set things that are beyond me, specifically so that I cling to him, right? So that I know that mission's dependent on him. Holiness is dependent on him.
It's almost you said, okay, so if you are mission-focused without being Jesus-centered, you're going to burn out. And if what happens, so when I'm mission focused and I start getting tired, when I'm mission focused and I start getting tired, I either become Jesus centered or I become self centered. And if I become self centered, then I'm like, oh, I'm not getting this. They're not treating me well. That pastor's not doing this. And I get so self centered, and self centeredness always leads to burnout. But when I'm mission focused, I'm getting tired. If I become Jesus centered, I find the grace sufficient for that time of need, right? That his strength is sufficient in our weakness. And so I have to go to him. I can't go into myself.
Yes, I will most gladly spend and be utterly spent for the salvation of souls. Yeah, you can say that whenever it's Jesus-centered and not self-centered.
Just a little caveat on that. It's also then the responsibility of the people who are supervising your area of service, right? To make sure that you can be healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Right? Because that takes a tremendous amount of trust. And of course, you know, if you are in a place where you're being pushed to the point of exhaustion or a lack of health, like you do need to advocate for yourself. But I think the pendulum has swung.
Well, and let me honor you too as well, because you guys have been in leadership since my start here at Damascus. And I think the thing you guys taught me more than anything is, I'll state it this way and then honor what I saw in it. But like to know a limit as a limit is to be beyond it. So I only know what my limits are when I go beyond them. And you guys gave me such a confidence in myself that I routinely went beyond my limits. But then you were also open when I came back to you to saying, okay, now we see that as a limit. How can we scale back and make that possible? And I want to just encourage everyone listening, like go beyond some of your limits. Don't be scared that you're not sufficient, because we're not sufficient without his grace. And when we get beyond it, we can begin seeing, like I never tell someone that I'm too tired unless I realize at what point I think I crossed that threshold. And if you never cross that threshold, I'm just sad that you might not live the life abundant that you were made for. And you guys, I think, did both, where you allowed me to push it to where I was like, well, that's way past where I can go for the rest of my life. And then you guys helped me see, though, don't go and swing the pendulum all the way back to where you just rest for the rest of life. But where is that line at? How do you maintain it? Because that's where holiness and mission will flourish.
Mm. Amen. Okay. Yeah. My two cents. How do you not get tired or burn out when prioritizing a life on mission? I think for me, I want to be deeply connected to Jesus's heart for his people. And so my deepest desire is that I would live like Jesus and love like Jesus. And so the more I have Jesus's heart for his people, the more the grind, or it actually isn't hard at that point. Like, it's like, how does a parent not get burnt out and not just leave their children? Well, it's because of love. Love motivates the late night. Love motivates the sacrifice. Love. And so when I'm feeling burnt out, when I'm feeling like I just don't want to do this anymore, I just turn to Jesus and I start begging for his heart for his people. And sometimes I have to do active things to have his heart for his people. I know that I have Jesus's heart for his people way better when I'm doing daily intercession. And if I'm not praying for the salvation of souls, if I'm not praying for those who are living under the dictatorship of communism, if I'm not praying for the poor and the suffering, my heart's just not as sensitive. I become selfish. And so intercession, talking to the least of these, right? So like praying with his people really sensitizes my heart, because there's nothing that sensitizes me to want to keep going when someone's crying in front of you and just begging that Jesus would lift their anxiety. Like, that just like, it, like, I want that for you too. And so talking to the poor and relating with the poor and suffering, praying with those at our parishes and in our lives, like allowing Jesus's heart to be our heart, it keeps us going, because love allows us love allows us to do supernatural things in our everyday life.
That's awesome, Dan. It is. I just want to honor you, Dan. I think you're so true to that. You're one of the more motivated people I know. And it's been amazing for me to see how that comes from that engine. Like, it doesn't come from an engine that is self-seeking or whatever other engines it might be. I do see that. Was there a time where you realized those were the ways that your heart was activated, and, or was it just by getting out there and doing it? I wonder.
When I was 18, I got a tattoo of the Sacred Heart of Jesus on my arm. Oh, yeah. And so maybe just
that was a defining moment.
Just tattooing Jesus's heart. No, I think there were.
You heard it here first, folks. Everybody get a tattoo of the Sacred Heart. I'm just kidding.
It's so funny. I think I used to be I was so arrogant when I first came into the faith. I was so theological, and I loved the fact that the Catholic Church was the pillar and foundation
right.
of truth. Yeah. Yes. And I was like, I'm right because the church is right, and like, let's go evangelize. it wasn't very effective.
What did you used to wear on your wrists during that time?
I don't know. Did I wear something?
That's when you had like spiked collars.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I was a punk rocker as well. Yeah. Spikes, all kinds of stuff. Because I was anti-world, anti-culture. And
I'm going against the grain.
But I don't know I don't think there was a moment, but I do know that I thought it was childish when I first came to believe that everything goes back to love, and everything goes back to the simplicity of how well can we love, and how holiness is not doing, it's becoming. And the goal of the spiritual life is that our heart would become Jesus's heart, and that we would love with the heart of the Father. And so I don't think I'm actually all that great at it. I think I'm really much better at building ministry programs than I am someday of just loving the person in front of me. But I go back to that, because that's what I desire in my spiritual life. It's what I desire in my apostolic life. And I'm not there yet. And that's kind of that's a nice thing. It's a journey. But if I was there, then I'd probably become arrogant and then not be there anymore. So,
yeah, that's good.
And just to affirm that too, Dan, that as you express that desire, like whether it comes easy or not, that inspires others.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. When I'm just so motivated because of the way that the Lord's worked in our lives here at Damascus, all three of us to commit here, I just regularly get asked, like, what has allowed Damascus to flourish? Like, what's been, and I constantly just go back to that we've stayed, that we haven't gone and built something like as Dan or Aaron or Brett, but like there's this this way that the Lord, I think, has invited us into humility. And I think that's where I'm wanting to get at for anyone listening, is just like, humbly submitting yourself to something that's going to outlive you is one of the best ways to not burn out. It's like, I am going, like, maybe that's your family. Maybe that's the ministry you're working in. Maybe that's the financial resource you want to have so that you can bless the church in your local area. Like, I just think that that is such a beautiful, merciful invitation from God is, hey, would you humbly submit to something bigger than yourself? Would you just humbly set yourself to the side, not because you're irrelevant, but because I want you plugged into the whole? Would you humbly do that so that I can do something bigger than I could do with just you? And like, I think if our church would get into that, burnout would be less and motivation, zeal, all that stuff would be more.
Yeah, that's a huge point.
So we get to share in the course of our 2 cents kind of how the Lord's spoken to us. And I'm excited for the next part of the show. We always get to step into now our mission momentum. And I'm excited to hear where each of you guys go. These are now our challenges for you about, okay, if you want to take this seriously, how do you live it?
Yeah,
who wants to kick it off?
I can, because mine's really simple and it ties into my 2 cents. I want to encourage anyone listening to just go daily to that verse in 2 Corinthians. I will most gladly spend and be utterly spent for the salvation of souls. Because I think when we go to a verse like that and we allow ourselves to think, what was Paul saying? Like, how was he saying this? From what heart was this coming from? It begins to develop a heart in us to do things more than we thought we could before. So I think this week, if we can just for maybe 5 minutes a day, just whenever, just read that verse every day and just ask the Lord to highlight something about it. Because I remember when I first came across that verse, I spent time with it and it changed my life because I just saw a different perspective, a perspective of someone who was all in, and it gave me the motivation to want to be all in. And I think that'll be something that can stand against burnout.
Beautiful. Mine is if you're experiencing burnout or exhaustion, to assess your time, assess your schedule, and see where it is that you're spending your attention, right? A real simple example for this. So I'm charged with speaking on an event we've got coming up this weekend, and I've been really diligently like conversing with the Lord and preparing for this over the last week or so. And last weekend, when I sat down with him to think about this, he said, "Hey, I want your whole heart focused on this week. We're going to explore this together. So I want you to cut out some distraction." So he identified like the time of consuming media at the end of the day, that was something he just wanted me to say, okay, hey, this is all well and good. It's well ordered, but this week we're going to fast because I want to keep your focus That's and attention awesome. On this thing. So submit yourself, like allow the Lord to be the Lord of your schedule. And you know, nothing's off limits. If there's a time of rest that you're being called into, great. Like enjoy a video game with your family or friends, enjoy a good book. But if there's a deep time of mission that he's calling you into, trying to do both those things at the same time might lead you to a place where you just don't have time to thrive.
Mm-hmm. Good. That's awesome. I would say if you're experiencing burnout, mission momentum this week would be to reconnect with the suffering of humanity in some way. So if that is intentionally driving someplace where you'll see the homeless and talk to them and get to see them, or if that's, you know, someone you've been avoiding that you know is suffering, just reconnect with them and spend time with the suffering Christ and pray that the Lord would sensitize your heart to that.
That's really great. I also, just if you're listening, you're like, what was that verse? I couldn't remember it offhand, but 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15. That's where you can find the verse I've been talking about.
You guys both used the word sensitize today.
And is that
as,
right?
As you did, I can't help but hearing tenderize.
Oh,
so I just see this little hammer, like the meat tenderizer.
Yeah, making a steak.
When you get like a flank steak. All right,
I'm changing my mission momentum.
It's a tenderized steak.
If you're experiencing tiredness and burnout, make yourself a great
tenderize
steak.
Tenderize a steak.
And just rest with it. And then you'll learn how to rest with something that is good and then take that into your prayer life.
Fast and feast, you know?
Remember, we're not just the people on mission, we're a show on mission. I just want to invite you a little bonus mission momentum this week to please subscribe to the show and share it with someone who you think it might be valuable to. Remember that we have a donor here on Beyond Damascus who has pledged $10 in support of our flagship program, Catholic Youth Summer Camp, this season. It's our last episode of this season. If there's anybody who you think could benefit from this show, encourage them to subscribe so that we can send a kiddo to camp.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Friends, it's been a joy. This has been a tremendous season. We've enjoyed spending our weeks with you. We've enjoyed engaging with you in the comments and the emails that you've sent to us. Mm-hmm. We're going to be back again soon. And when we do, we want to be ready to answer some of the questions that you may have. So please, whether now or in the future, send your questions to beyond@damascus.net or engage with us here on social media, wherever you might find us best. And until next time, please remember that
mission makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
We'll see you again soon. God bless. Friends, thanks for listening to Beyond Damascus, the show where encounter meets mission. You can listen to the whole version of today's show by searching for Beyond Damascus on YouTube or your favorite podcast app.